This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Time for a proper round trip where we go around the bases here on your home of the 2023 World Series champion Texas Rangers. Pre-game tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, first pitch, 7. Tyler Mahle going to be on the hill as they host the Rays in the first of a three-game weekend series. It's been a really good season so far, even though we're just 7 games in. Some stuff to really enjoy. I mean, DeGrom's start was amazing, but Leiter has now pitched twice, 5 innings in both, only 1 run allowed. And this is one of those stories that now, you know, kind of gets you excited, like, hey, what could be going on here if you have DeGrom and Eovaldi working, and maybe Leiter is going to realize his potential as a top 5 pick and be one of the exciting young arms in baseball. So it's catching the attention of not only us here, Rangers fans and the local media, but national media as well. We go to the MLB Network where Dan Plesac is talking about what Leiter did in the offseason to set himself up for success.
Zach Leiter only threw 70 pitches in this game, but Dan, he was efficient, he was smooth, and it looks like this first-round pick has arrived.
Yeah, he really does, and I really like what I've seen from him these two starts. Some of it is mechanics, some of it is he changes pitching using the two-seam or the changeup more. But I'm going to tell you, what a difference from last year this year. But listen, you got to give him credit. Like, I don't want to say rushed up to the big leagues, but, you know, he showed pockets last year of being really, really good. And then there were times where he would get on the struggle bus. Always has had a good fastball. Basically a two-pitch guy. Fastball and that overhand curveball. And there's that heater that he runs up in the zone. But what he's done this year, he's able to use the two-seamer and the four-seamer. That's 98 with a little bit of run on it. There's one with cut. Down in the zone, and he has the ability to go up in the zone when he wants to go up in the zone. So he's moving his fastball around. But I really love the directional change this year. And it's so small, but yet it can be so big. Being more on line with the target. Look at him last year.
Here we go. That's what we're talking about right there with Jack Leiter and your Texas Rangers. And things they've been able to identify in their evaluation of their own guys and say, hey, it's not necessarily about getting nastier stuff, but it's about changing your plane or changing your pitch selection. You know, throwing more of this, less of that, that's allowing their guys to have a significant amount of success. You know, and then you you know, plug in Jack Leiter's talent and his natural progression after being PCL Pitcher of the Year last year. You know, it's one of those things that they're going to need if this offense doesn't come around, is great starting pitching, and Jack Leiter's certainly taken that step in his career.
Yeah, definitely one of the biggest bright spots of the start to this season. And there were huge questions coming in, obviously, but he's clearly put the work in. The stuff has always been there. It's kind of been a between the ears thing for him, harnessing some of the command and everything. But he's been absolutely fantastic. And I saw from FanGraphs, obviously tiny sample size, but the Rangers have 2 players in the top 5 when it comes to WAR. Nathan Eovaldi's number 1 in the sport. Makes sense. Jack Leiter's number 5.
Yeah.
And the Rangers have also faced, now maybe this is an indictment on the Rangers lineup, or it just shows the type of pitchers they've gone up against, but the Rangers have also faced 3 starting pitchers this year that are in the top 10 in WAR. Crochet, who's number 2 in the sport, Hunter Green with the Reds, number 6 in the sport, and Brady Singer also with the Reds, number 8. So they've gone up against some good pitching. Now, maybe, again, that might just be a reflection of the Rangers lineup.
Yeah.
But I think those are all established guys. You're not really totally surprised that those guys are crushing it right now, because those are all, I mean, Green, Singer, and Crochet are studs.
Yeah, and if Leiter is legitimately in that group, then, I mean, this could get insane to have, you know, three pitchers like that. And I say that not to hate on Leiter, but to suggest that this probably isn't sustainable. You know, he's gone five innings twice. The big thing is, can you get through that lineup a third time?
That's always kind of been a problem for him.
Yeah.
Getting through that lineup.
So we haven't had the chance. I mean, that blister was very unfortunate, but it's fortunate in that it ended that outing with a high degree of success, which allows him to continue to build confidence. But, you know, just the fact that he's doing this, just these two starts at this point in his career, after how badly last year went, where he spent a lot of September with an ERA in double digits until he recovered late, you know, to finally put together something less horrific than an 11 ERA, which he was rocking at times last year. I just think it shows that he's progressing in a way that a year, 2 years down the road, maybe he can be this guy that's, you know, a number two option. You know, is that being greedy? Hopefully not. You know, could he still be an ace?
In 3 years, will Jack Leiter be an ace?
You know, and you guys were talking about Jack Leiter and working out and being bigger, you know, maybe, you know, he's always,
I would say leaner.
Okay. But just, if you look at, and I was just curious about this because I was the whole workout bit and how he was throwing, you know, and listen to Plesac talk there, his four seam fastball is 3 miles an hour faster. His slider is 2 miles faster. His sinker's 3 miles miles faster. His changeup is 5 miles faster than the average of Major League Baseball.
Okay.
So, you know, here he is. Every one of his pitches has become, he's throwing them harder. And, you know, maybe that's something that when Plesac was talking about how he's able to elevate it, or, you know, he's where he can move it around in the zone. But if you're throwing anywhere between 5 to 3 miles an hour on average, your pitch is that much faster. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe the people aren't being able to catch up to it early in the season. Maybe the control is there, and he's getting the chases, and he's getting the misses and the swings. And
I mean,
Chief
said he looks leaner, but he's stronger.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I just wonder if it's in. Plesac was trying to say mechanics, but I wonder if it's just the fact that he's done
maturing into a man's body.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe something a little bit different. But man, he looks. Because I've seen him pitch a bunch when he was at Vanderbilt because of the LSU and the SEC stuff. He looks like that guy at Vanderbilt that, and a lot of those SEC schools have guys that are playing in Major League Baseball. You know, he was getting strikeouts there, winning a lot of those Friday games. But maybe the miles per hour per pitch on the average better than what the league is.
Yeah.
Maybe that's helping him right now.
By the way, I have noticed, Chief, the hand blowing, it's there for good. You know,
it is. It's part of his game.
He did that early last year, and I thought, wow, he's super nervous. Look how much he's hand blowing. The guy will be going through the dugout giving high fives, blowing on his offhand. That's how committed he is to that sort of deal.
Yeah, so that, I guess that's not that doesn't mean that he's drowning on the mound when he's doing it. That's just who he is. Yeah. I think there was a hat issue last year, too. He was always messing with his hat.
Yeah.
And maybe that was more of a nervous tick.
He's fidgety.
Yeah, a little bit fidgety.
Yeah.
But he seems extremely under control right now.
972 says, Gavin, all we wanted you to do last year was give Leiter time to grow into who he's becoming this year. That's it. Well, that's great. That game that's under review or under debate still wasn't a good game from him last year. You know, he's just started pitching well. Here's Chief with some more baseball stories.
Okay. All right, Tritely, let's take this thing to Los Angeles, where last night it was Shohei Ohtani, and it was Shohei Ohtani bobblehead night at Dodger Stadium.
Clutch.
This thing was the line outside of Dodger Stadium, and this was a guarantee. This was one of the rare ones where it was like everyone who shows up that night, every fan, they have a bobblehead for you.
So
it wasn't one of those where 40,000 you got to be the first.
40,000 bobbleheads?
Yes. Yeah. They went all out for it. So it wasn't like you necessarily had to show up early to make sure you get your hands on this thing. But the line outside of Dodger Stadium 5-6 hours before the game was ridiculous.
Wow.
And then it's a tie ball game in the bottom of the ninth. Shohei Ohtani, the biggest name in baseball, up against the Braves, and it's a one pitch bang.
High fly ball to center field. Harris is back. Otani, inevitable
Shohei Ohtani, Joe Davis with the call.
Yeah,
that was fantastic from Shohei. Exactly what you want. Best player, biggest biggest name in the sport, and on one pitch, that's all it took on Shohei bobblehead night to send the Atlanta Braves home, still winless on the season. We got to get to the Braves because they are an absolute disaster right now. In fact, we have the Braves TV call of this exact moment as well. Let's go ahead and tee up Braves TV.
2-for-4 with two singles tonight. Out to center field. Harris is back at the wall, and the heartache has hit a new level for the Atlanta Braves. Ohtani and the Dodgers walk it off with a homer.
The Atlanta Braves 0-7. No team in MLB history has ever made the playoffs after starting 0-7. It's been 42 years since a team that started 0-7 even finished with a winning record.
Wow, that's crazy, especially in baseball where you can have bad luck for a week and go winless, that no team has been able to recover from this.
I know. It is pretty surprising because you see stretches throughout the season where teams have those lulls. I mean, I'll never forget that August and even parts of September. In 2023, the Rangers go on and win it all, and we were.
Would they lose 9 in a row?
Punting on this team, yeah, it was something bad.
Yeah,
blowing saves like crazy. August was awful, and even at the end of September, they're losing in Seattle to clinch the wild card instead of the division, and then they still go on the run. So it is a little bit surprising when you have all season to catch up, but we've never seen it happen.
I mean, they had like two series to win one game, and they barely won that game on that Saturday.
Yeah.
The Astros owned them. It just looked like they had suddenly become the worst team, and then on a plane ride, they become the best team, a team of destiny.
I mean, a lot of these teams are just one Austin Hedges ostrich egg away from glory, and only the Rangers have really understood that. In the last 7 days, here's what's happened to the Braves. 0-7, 14 total runs scored, averaging 2 runs per game, 33 total hits. 151 team batting average. They've been shut out twice. They've scored one run in a game twice. The bullpen has blown 3 games. I mean, it is just really, really down bad now for the Braves, who are like the second favorite outside of the Dodgers in the NL to win the whole thing. So this is Braves fans are definitely down bad right now.
Oh, yeah, that's horrible. Terrible place to be. They've had their share of success. And if I had to bet on any team that's going to reverse this history, Chief, I think, you know, now that you have expanded playoff baseball, I can see it happening this go around.
Now, you also have Paul Skeens, and he's just the man. We know that. But he's dating Livy Dunn, of course.
He is.
Oh, I saw this. Yeah. He's got a bad shower habit, doesn't he?
Oh, wait, what? Wait, what's the shower habit? I don't even know about that. They did a whole centerfold or whatever of him and her for GQ magazine.
Yeah, there's a lot of content spewing from it.
Yes.
Apparently he is a water on the bathroom floor guy. Like he can't manage the shower or walking out or something, but when he leaves that shower, like there's water all over the bathroom floor.
Yeah, that could be tough.
So he doesn't have the curtain in the tub kind of a situation.
I don't know. Apparently, she said he thinks that the bath mats should be used to soak that water up. So I don't know if he's not doesn't have good curtain management or he's walking out super wet and dripping all over the floor. But apparently, that's her big issue.
Might be
with
a
him.
Bad door situation. Might get a you know get
you
a,
have that.
A glass. Yeah. Glass shower there.
Those are shut properly.
Or one of those open air ones like we've been seeing in these
hotels
lately.
Super Bowl happened.
That's
to me.
A flood disaster
that
waiting to happen.
It drives me crazy as well because I'm not a house shoe guy. I'm a sock around the house guy. So if I go into the bathroom and the floor is wet and I got to change my socks now, I'm jammed up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we waste a lot of towels having to do the drying up the bathroom floor bit post shower, post bath time, whatever it is. It can get away from you. Maybe he's anti-towel guy and he just likes to air dry. So he's just walking around creating wet footprints all over the place.
Yeah.
But what I saw was that they almost didn't even get together because she had followed him on Instagram. They were both at LSU together.
Yep.
He's the man, and she's the woman of the campus. And so she sort of, the female shooting of the shot is really just following. You know, they're not usually sliding into the DMs. They're just going to kind of send the poke and hope that
Best you got.
Yeah. So she follows him on Instagram, and then she says for like weeks, she keeps checking to see if he's followed her back, and he didn't.
Wow.
And so it almost.
He's not an Instagram guy.
Got away from. Well, he has an Instagram. I don't think he's obsessed with it. I think he was just baseball obsessed. Yeah. I think he was just so locked in, and proof's in the pudding. The dude's unbelievable that it was just, he wasn't even paying attention to it. And so I don't know exactly how he caught wind of the fact that, like, oh, by the way, the biggest female athlete in sports right now, who just so happens to be the hottest.
His teammates alerted him.
Yeah, I'm sure the whispers went around.
Like, hey, Skeens.
But that's the alpha that he is, dude. Skeens. He was kind of playing the hard to get factor.
What a unit.
When every single person in the world gets the Livy Dunn follow, and within seconds there's a follow back, a DM, and maybe multiple DMs. This dude is just sitting cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah,
and
not even aware.
Not even aware. Yeah. And I actually like to think he was somewhat aware, but he was just kind of playing it cool.
Ooh, probably.
And then now, I mean, they're one of the most popular couples in all of sport.
Is he cooler than Joe Burrow for LSU history?
Ooh. I would think so.
Ooh. Yeah. It's a good question. I think it is. That would be hotly debated, I think, amongst the most rabid LSU.
Yeah. Who is
Tiger
the coolest
fans.
Between Paul Skeens and Joe Burrow?
Because they both have the it factor, the alpha factor, on and off the field, cool, getting it done. Yeah. I mean, too impressive. I mean, those are great guys to have representing your university. There's no question about that.
All right, so now these rabid Rangers fans have tied me into something called a group called Rangers Twitter, and I can't even reply to it because I don't belong to the community. Okay, so they're roasting me.
Go knock on that door. They'll let you in.
I guess I got to jump in there, but I don't think it's somehow the Rangers fans don't like me over this one. Okay, and I don't know how we got here. I'm just happy Jack Leiter's pitching well. Okay, can we all be friends and cheer on a 2025 World Series run?
You're the one who put the chip on his shoulder. Why do you think he was so dialed this offseason? Why do you think he was so committed to getting those MPHs up?
Yeah.
Why do you think he was so committed to getting as lean as he's ever been in his entire life?
Yeah.
There's some credit that's actually due.
He knew how bad that game was. And what Sandler did right there is he did own me in that debate. Okay, I'll grant him that. But he was still wrong.
Do you think Sandler's encouraging them to come after you, though?
All he did was show that I didn't watch the game and that he did. He was going all in on an opinion, not an objective fact. And as a matter of fact, later on that day, a close film review by yours truly exposed that Jack Leiter got lucky that game while giving up 6 runs in 5 innings. And you guys want him to be successful so bad that you're siding with Sandler, even though a close review of the facts proves that I was correct. Now, all that aside, I'm willing to forgive, Sandler's baseless attack and your support of him. Okay, I'm willing to forgive that because we should all just want the Rangers to be awesome, and I believe that's where we are now, Brian.
Here, here.
Okay, sports hodgepodge coming up next. Chief, where are you taking
us? Got some NFL stuff, plus Basketball Hall of Fame class has been announced, and some other quick hitters next year in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back, Nation. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. I saw a funny tweet that the Dodgers' big spending ways might be finally coming to an end now that the president has called a 25% tariff on Japan. You know, they got the 3 Japanese players.
There you go.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Might run up another $100 million in taxes.
Very creative there.
Okay, so that's a fun twist on baseball. But here's the Chief with your evening hodgepodge.
Yeah, lots to get to. I'm just seeing in real time Krispy Kreme dropping a new limited time treat that blends breakfast nostalgia with donut bliss. The Fruity Pebbles Milk Glazed Donut. Available April 3rd through 6th.
Sounds reasonable.
That looks really good. Passing the eye test in every single way. Shout out to Krispy Kreme.
Would it be, and I should probably look this up, is this they use the Fruity Pebbles like as a ground up kind of a dust, or is it a...
Seems like it's sort of infused to the donut. Like it's it's not like it's just sprinkled on top.
Okay, I thought maybe
top.
So we got the white frosting, But the
take a look at that.
But it's in the donut. It's okay. Baked into the donut.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can see the little specks of the flavoring inside.
Look at the glaze factor on that.
That's like fantastic.
They're calling it like a milk glaze, so maybe it's a different glaze than the run of the mill Krispy Kreme. I don't know. It looks freaking awesome.
I think they call it the milk glaze just because of the color.
See,
that'd be my guess.
Oh, okay.
I thought for sure they would put some sort of a dusting over, or maybe just lay the fruity pebbles over it.
I was thinking dusting,
which a lot of donut shops will do.
Right.
You know, but this is a.
I would use the milk glaze as a binder for the dust. The fruity pebbles dust is what I would do.
Well, if anybody tries that, let us know. It looks incredible. Okay, we have the sound. Bruce Drennan, he's back for more.
Nice.
After alleging that the Cowboys and the Browns were in the midst of a deal to send Dak Prescott to Cleveland, waiving his no-trade clause because he wants so bad to go to Cleveland.
Cleveland rocks.
He's doubling down on it. 1 week later, take it away. Schmo, Bruce Drennan.
I stand by the statement that I laid out on you last week. This could come about. Bruce. Let me reiterate what I did here originally in case you weren't with us last week. Dallas and Cleveland would make a deal. Cleveland would get Dak Prescott. Dallas would get Newsom. And the 33rd pick, that's the first pick in the second round. Now, if there's anything else involved in the deal, I don't know about that. I was not told that. I was not informed about anything else. There could be, for all I know. It's not the second pick in the draft. The Browns would keep that.
Wow, okay, so it gets even worse now.
So it's
the Cowboys are getting in return the first pick of the second round, or I guess the second pick of the second round.
And Newsom the corner, right?
The first pick, I guess, I don't know, 33. Yeah Newsom the corner and a second round pick for Dak Prescott after, of course, he waives his no-trade clause to go to Cleveland.
Going to need a lot more than that because you're eating like $100 million of that contract. We're going to need to be compensated for it. But I don't necessarily know that I need to. You know, if there's a way out of this, I mean, come on, Dak coming up on 32 years old, coming off the avulsion fracture. Like, if the Browns actually wanted to do it, I'm not hanging up the phone. And I don't need to. We'll figure out a way to get this done.
And what do? You pick up the phone, you're Jerry Jones, and you call Dak and say, hey, I'm going to need you to do something for me.
Yeah.
Going to go ahead and waive that no trade clause. But the good news is
you're going to Cleveland.
You're going to Cleveland. Holy smokes, Bruce. I mean,
yes, it is unrealistic. It's not going to happen. But in a hypothetical world, maybe we tell Dak and his agent, listen, we realize we made a mistake and we want to move on. So if you don't agree to this, we're not playing you again. You're done playing football. We're going to play this kid that we got, Joe. Joe Milton's our new starter.
Yeah.
You know, and he might decide that he's going to waive his no trade clause.
512 asking about the Overshown stuff. We talked about it earlier in the program because he's got a countdown thing. Tomorrow he's making some level of an announcement. And
you predicted he was going to change his number.
I believe he's going to the number zero. You're seeing number changes all over the league today. And we know he's been wanting that number zero. Hasn't gotten it yet. They've used the Rowdy excuse because that's the jersey number for Rowdy. Even though I believe he's the double zero.
He's double zero.
Double zero. So this is just the single zero that
I like what Overshown. You're doing here. I like what you're doing, going out on a limb with the prediction. I like that.
I think that's the announcement. What else is it going to be?
I can't make this about me right now. If I'm Overshown, I can't stay healthy. I need to stay healthy.
So you're not changing the number or you're just doing it in the shadows? We all find out when we get to training camp or...
Yes, at most I'm doing this very quietly. I'm just going to show up in zero, but I'm not doing any sort of a countdown. It's not time for that. I have not arrived. As well as I have played,
Overshown hasn't arrived.
I am a nothing burger until I can approve the most important thing with sports, and that's available.
That's what he's honoring with the zero, the nothing burger factor about his career today.
I wish Jack Leiter would change his number to zero now.
I'm telling you, dude, the chip on Jack Leiter's shoulder.
Like Marcus Stroman.
This offseason, when he was grinding away, adding MPHs to every single one of his pitches, getting leaner.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't surprise
getting
me.
Getting sharper between the ears.
I mean,
was fueled. I believe he has probably some type of photo of you on his mirror or whatever.
Wouldn't surprise me.
He's using you as fuel. Your takes. Potentially awful takes are being used as fuel, and you should take pride in that.
I just applaud him for how professional he was with us Tuesday when he joined the Rangers player show at 2:20, despite that tempest of hate that was boiling inside of him.
I was on edge a little bit wondering if he was going to call you out for, or maybe perhaps thank you for the necessary fuel.
He could, you know. I heard Jared Sandler last year had a clip of it on his phone, and he was going around to the clubhouse playing it for all the players, including him. So that wouldn't surprise me at all.
It definitely picked up steam,
yeah,
with it amongst the Rangers organization and clubhouse. I do think that is. I was waiting for us when we were asking the stupid questions in the clubhouse about like Gavin Dawson and what you think about him coming up. I was waiting for one of those guys to be like, Gavin Dawson?
Right. Yeah.
That bleep hole that doesn't know what he's talking about with some of the worst sports takes in the world, tearing down my guy Jack?
That guy that dared say Jack Leiter had a poor performance after giving up 6 runs in 5 innings? Gosh, what an idiot.
Now the only 6 we acknowledge is the punch outs he had in 5 innings.
He is mowing him down.
He is, dude. Shout out to Jack Leiter.
Salute.
NFL Red Zone host Scott Hansen will be a new in-game voice for EA Sports Madden NFL 26.
Oh, that's a win.
We still don't even know if Scott Hansen's returning to the Red Zone.
He's negotiating?
I believe he's doing the Olympic stuff, so there's now a void for the host of Red Zone, and maybe it'll be Tony Reale around the horn getting bleep canned. I think ESPN's trying to assume the rights of NFL Network anyways. So
$2 billion for all that, huh?
So Hanson's unavailable? Hansen's going to be doing Olympics? Is that
might
what you just said?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be doing, I think, all sorts of stuff when it comes to NBC sports coverage. They're going to have, because he did the Gold Zone, I believe is what they called it, for the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I guess the returns on that were pretty impressive. So he's, I guess, going to be leveling up and out of the Red Zone host gig that he's had for so many years. But he is going to do some voicing.
I didn't know you could level up from that. I thought that was the pinnacle.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. Well, Jordan Schultz has the quote here. Joe Milton, new Cowboys quarterback, says, my family grew up Cowboys fans. My mom always had a Cowboys shirt on. She always talked about them. Living in Texas has been a long-time dream of mine, and now I'm with them, and I'm ready to go to work.
Cool, man.
So he grew up a Cowboys fan. Yeah. Certainly his mom did. So this is a great day in the Milton family.
Yeah, celebrate tonight. Enjoy it.
As they should.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about this? I'm trying to work to confirm it, but there's photo evidence of Minnesota Twins fans at their ballpark, and they have what they're calling the Brat briefcase.
I watched their game today against the Astros, and by the way, the Astros won today 5-2. But I did not see any food items on the screen.
Well, this is so it's like the boomstick where you're having to carry it around in that like cardboard briefcase looking thing.
Opening day for them today. Yeah, opening day there.
Okay, so that's probably why this is coming out.
Yeah,
because it's their first home game.
Yes, they lined everybody up on the chalk and sang the national anthem.
So you have these different types of brats, but they're scaled down to where they're probably like, I would guess, maybe like 3 inches or so. It's not full brat, but you have, it's almost like a flight of whiskeys or whatever, like a flight of beers, where you get like smaller sizes, but you get a handful of different flavor profiles or whatever.
Okay.
That's what they're doing with brats.
I love it.
Look
I just
at
found
that
it.
Thing. How cool is that?
That is great, man.
You could get just a run of the mill brat. You could get a beer brat. You could get maybe one that's filled with jalapeno cheddar or whatever. You get like 5 or 6 different flavor
like
profiles.
Brats.
Yeah, exactly. They're like a, I would say eye test probably about 3 inches.
Yeah,
see, but they're nice. Bunned up and everything.
Okay.
That's a nice item. See, you get to the ballpark and they want to do some of these big novelty items to get people talking and you know to have the fun looks on the Jumbotron and whatever. But so many of these are a mess. Okay, like the giant boomstick or whatever with the burrito stuff all over it, a giant mess. This is clean, efficient, delicious eating. That's what this is right here.
Yeah, this was a great idea. Shout out to the Twins for that.
It's like a brat platter.
Yeah.
Basically.
Now, what do you guys feel about... What's up, Broadus? Go ahead.
No, Dawson, real quick. You ever, like, on your TikTok stuff, get the guys or gals that cook the brats and stuff, and they do the snap test?
No.
You never see those?
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, these guys and gals.
They got a snap?
Yeah. It's like, after they make them, you're like, oh, man, this is... And then they do the snap, and then you can actually hear the snap, but they always got some kind of cheese or something in the brat. I'm like, oh, I'm just... at the end, I'm always like, gosh, dang, I wish I could make these.
I don't know why you would ever want to do regular hot dogs when brats are out there. They should have retired hot dogs.
I see, exactly.
For dollar dog stuff, I get it. Yeah. Like, you're just, that's a promo item for the people that are trying to go super cheap. Hey, there's something for you. But otherwise, all of these hot dog bits that we're doing, just make that a brat. Make that a legit sausage or something.
I can't
Level up from just the bottom of the barrel leftover innards of a pig or
rolled
bologna.
I'll tell you, there's ways to make, like, I can't tell you how many videos I've watched on making brats, and it's like, it's a lot of work, but man, you could put some stuff in it. It's like, just like making sausages and stuff, but the meat grind, I mean, you have to have all this equipment.
Not the same for the hot dog? Is that not like
that's what I'm saying.
Taxing?
I'm willing to make the sausage or the brat because I know what I'm putting in the casing. You know, like I'm putting a bunch of good things that I like in the casing, but man, it's a lot of work. God, it's a lot of work. But those dudes, when they make them, they look damn good.
And they
good.
Aren't that much more expensive than the dogs.
Right.
You know, I think for all that work that you put in and the better ingredients, it's well worth
it. Okay, the Italian sausage or the brat?
It's hard. I was going to say, it's kind of just like, it's a case by case, whatever I'm in the mood. It's a mood thing. I think they're both equally dominant.
You're right.
There's a place for both of them.
Absolutely, there is.
And then we'll close it down here with Carmelo Anthony. We all agree he's first ballot Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah.
Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2025, Carmelo Anthony. Mm. You are first ballot. 10 All-Stars, 6 All-NBA teams,
bucket.
19 seasons, 3 Olympic gold medals for Team USA. And that was where,
three.
I mean, he did a lot of impressive stuff in those Olympic gold runs. Jeez. He was outstanding. So, yeah, that's a no-brainer, especially when it comes to the Basketball Hall of Fame. That's one of the easier halls to get into.
Yes. And Carmelo Anthony, a no doubt about her.
Yeah, he's surefire.
Even with the ease factor, I think there was a stretch of probably 5 or 6 years where he was the toughest guy to stop, you know? And that's, Kobe's in the league, T-Mac's in the league. Dude was just incredible. The size, the speed, and the jump shot. You know, the career maybe slowed down a little bit earlier than some of the other greats, but
the scoring prowess is undeniable.
Yeah.
Just a certified hooper. Congratulations to Carmelo.
A basketball god. Thank you, Chief. And thanks to everybody for giving me your thoughts on the Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line.
A lot of P words and G words coming your way, Dawson.
Are you growing close to the hate they have for me? Are you growing close to
the hate they have for me? Way higher.
Way higher?
Really?
Really?
Wow.
Way higher?
No. This is much
higher.
This
is pretty bad hate.
The vitriol is real right now. Every text is Gavin is a blank.
I just want to thank you folks out there for doing that. I appreciate you.
I mean, I just wanted to do an objective review of the facts with you and you know, let everything sort itself out from there. But if you can't handle
that. Fans have spoken. I appreciate their.
And there's a consensus, at least among quite a few of them, that that apparently I'm in the wrong here. So yeah. I'm going to step aside and say, go Rangers. Okay, we can all agree that we love the Texas Rangers, and we're back to crosstalk with the Fan After Dark. See what Fred and Blake have cooking with you here on the Fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. We're going to be at the ballpark tomorrow. Join us there. They're going to be hosting the Rays over the weekend. So great chance to come watch the team. Probably take over first place this weekend is what you're looking at here with this ball team. And Tyler Mahle's going to be on the hill tomorrow. Of course, DeGrom's going to be on over the weekend as well. And to now take on the broadcast responsibilities for the rest of this evening here on the Fan. You have the Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake
you
tonight.
You do have Blake tonight. I'm here.
There he is.
No alarm troubles today. So shout out to all the Tolos who were caring and making sure I was okay. And then, you know, the ones that were like, man, the show is just flowing so much better.
Yeah,
Nobody said that.
But they were genuinely concerned about Blake's well-being yesterday. And a lot of people felt a lot better once they heard him on the air. So
I'm here.
Hi. It's good to know you're loved.
All loved. You are loved. Every single one of us in here, you know?
I was going with asleep. Was that right?
You were 100% correct. Sleep. You know what? I think I'm going to sue Apple.
Wow.
And then I'm going to buy an old school alarm clock, excuse me, because sometimes the alarm just decides it's not going to go off. Maybe it's the one time you have
it on silent. It on AM and PM is what you have to do.
I've been doing this, and sometimes it just decides it's not going to go off. And I think Apple knows what it's doing. I think it's got some deeper roots. They want people fired. so they can come work for them. And I think they know what they're doing, disabling alarms. And I'm just going to get an old school one because you can't hack those, right?
Yeah, the old school alarm's nice, too, because you can wake up in the middle of the night and see the time off in the distance. You don't have to pick up your phone and look.
I'm going
to
do that.
If you're like me. Fred,
you good? I've got this Amazon thing that tells the time and sets alarms and all that kind of stuff.
Amazon thing.
Without fail. How'd it go last night? Were you feeling okay? Or
I was fantastic. Chief came in.
That was nice.
I mean, now don't get me wrong. I probably rambled for about 7 or 8 minutes. I did listen to it back last night, and then Chief came in, and then we talked. I mean, it was a wide ranging conversation, which led to the cookies and the milk being here today. Which you tried the milk?
Yes,
did you not?
I drank the what do you call that? Raw milk.
Raw cow milk. Yeah.
Raw cow milk, baby.
Right out of the udder.
Circle N Dairy.
Nothing done to that.
Not Circle K. Circle N. So
I'd say
Dawson's
it was
calling in
twice as much flavor.
Right.
Yeah. That natural raw milk is good stuff.
Well, it's the aftertaste.
Yeah. It sits in your mouth for a while. That flavor. Like
now,
seriously.
What's the downside to it?
I guess the downside to it.
Yeah. What is the downside?
If because it's raw.
No pasteurization?
Right.
What does that even mean?
When you're pasteurizing it, you're taking out, I guess, whatever could be potentially bad that could like make you sick from it.
But also, how do they sell it?
It's basically like chemotherapy. It's going to kill the bad stuff, but it's also going to kill the good stuff. And so when you're doing the raw milk thing,
You're getting the best of both worlds.
Yeah, you're getting the best of both worlds. Now, here's the deal. I'm sure there have been cases of people getting sick from it. I would think. I've been drinking it for about a year now, me and my family, and nobody's had an issue. So
I'm talking about.
It's been good.
According to ChatGPT, Blake's best friend, raw milk has a dedicated following.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Sign me up. I'm on the train now too. But it comes with several risks and downsides, Drugs. Including sober 9 years. Thank you.
All right.
Bacterial contamination.
Back to you, Fred.
No pasteurization safety net. If you ever need a driver, let me know.
Yeah, it's the same way.
Shorter shelf life.
We're going out tonight, all the quarterbacks would say.
Shorter shelf life. There we go.
Shorter shelf life. Legal and availability issues.
The regulations.
And when we go to Oxnard in California, I can go to Sprouts and get raw milk from them, but I can't get that here in Texas.
Black
so
market?
It's like a state-by-state deal. It's not necessarily black market. I have a local farmer. And that's the thing. You have to have a local farmer that you trust that is handling it appropriately.
Yeah.
Because it can go haywire on you like somebody who just texted in saying they spent like 9 days in the hospital with E. coli. From raw milk. So you have to have a trustworthy source that you're getting it from.
Do you know this farmer?
I know him very, very well. Actually, Big Tolo, turns out, and we went and visited their farm, which was a fun experience if you have kids or whatever, in Gainesville. So it's a bit of a drive.
Wow.
But they come every 2 weeks, like every other Friday, basically. Tomorrow's pickup day. They come about 10 minutes from my house. They deliver throughout the DFW Metroplex.
Nice.
So I meet him at one of their delivery spots over by the Speedway because that's where I live.
Ask him when he's going to be in Louisville.
Milk and shout out to Don if he's listening right now because he's a giant Tolo. You can get they'll give you a tour and they'll give you the whole process of how the milk gets from udder to
jug.
They got to be low key when they're doing these drop offs. No, no, because I know, but we just said legal reasons. There's a reason they're not just
like over the counter. But I think like from a farmer's standpoint, I don't think they're breaking any laws.
Alrighty, gentlemen. Appreciate that.
But they might
milk
be.
Education. They might be.
I get pulled over after one of my milk drops.
Have a coli in the morning. Make for a tough weekend.
What do you got in the back, sir?
What's coming up on the show, gentlemen?
Great question. Cowboys released who they're going to have coming in for their visits. Today? Yesterday is what it was? All right, so we'll get into a little bit of that. Obviously, everybody's excited about this idea that Tet McMillan could be at 12. I don't know how I feel about that, but we'll dive into that as well. Obviously, Joe Milton, quarterback. I got to reach out to our guy, Ted Johnson, see what the scoop is on him as well.
DJ.
And then, of course, we've got fair foul and extra credit.
Extra credit tonight, of course. We're going to see Trevor versus Fred.
They are loaded for the next 4 hours. The Fan After Dark. Thanks to James Tritely and Eric Chiafalo. Send Wolchuk some love on social. He's been sick. Thanks to Broadus. Back tomorrow at 2. We're live at the ballpark. Come say hi. Until tomorrow, you're going home with the nation. Addies.